It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, a look at manufacturing jobs in Wisconsin and around the nation with the new employment numbers out today.
First, we're going to learn about foods that aren't only good for our health, but sustainable for the planet as well. Our guest says with every food choice we make, we're shaping the future.
P.K. Newby is with us. She's co-author of Foods for Health. Choose and use the very best foods for your family and our planet. You can get your own copy of that, by the way, with a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Pledge $12.50 a month or more. PK is a scientist, educator, and food writer at the blog The Nutrition Doctor is in the kitchen, cooking and eating the PK way. PK, thanks so much for joining us.
It is a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, why do you start your book with the Kurt Vonnegut quote? It's something like, food is practically the whole story every time.
Yeah, exactly. When you get down to it, food is practically the whole story every time. And I open not only the book with it, but most of the talks I give on food and nutrition and health and sustainability almost always begin with that quote. Not only am I a huge sci-fi buff, but it's actually true. We need food to live, and food is also an integral part of our culture and enjoyment and is important to everyone. Everyone's always thinking about food.
How did you decide to organize this book so that people could get the most use out of it and decide what they wanted to do for their bodies and the planet?
You know, it's organized into six categories that are color-coded, so it's really user-friendly, as you mentioned, and it's a beautiful book to boot. So gorgeous photographs, as you would only expect from National Geographic, including actually a few photos from my own blog. But it's organized into the groups of things that you would expect when you're planning a menu. So vegetables, fruits, whole grains, proteins, beverages. And that helps the person reading it to say, hey, well, you know, what kind of vegetables am I going to use today? What kind of fruits? And that's important because that's kind of the way we eat. So that was a better and more meaningful way to organize it than, say, alphabetically.
And you describe yourself as a different kind of nutritionist, where a lot of times you start with the body chemistry and the science and the nutrients, you come at it from the opposite direction almost. How describe your approach?
Well, I wouldn't say opposite, but certainly I'm definitely different, as you mentioned, from most nutritionists. I think for one thing, many nutritionists kind of focus, are naysayers, essentially. They focus on deprivation. And as someone who grew up working in restaurants and grew up cooking and has a sheer passion and love of food, and I'm a very serious home cook, I'm really a foodie first. And my almost interest in understanding the impact of food, not only our health, but also on the environment, ultimately came through a love of food. Because not only do I want people to enjoy food for enjoyment's sake, for pleasure's sake, but the fact is if you eat the right way, you're going to be able to enjoy it for many, many more years because 80% of chronic disease is basically preventable. So we can choose foods like you choose and use foods just like the book's title that is going to help us live longer. And not only that, our foods impact the environment too. So that's another place where I'm different from many nutritionists. Nutrition isn't just about you. It's about how the food affects you. It's about how it affects the planet.
Well, let's dive in. You have five main tips for a sustainable diet. And the first one is to make plants the star of your plate. Why do we start there?
Yeah, absolutely. Making plants the star of your plate is pretty much the best thing you can do for your diet, for your own health, and for the health of the planet. And that's because far fewer resources are used, generally speaking, to produce plants than to produce, say, beef, pig, or poultry.
And those plants, a lot of times we think, okay, we want the organic, oh, but it's hard to afford. We want locally sourced. We live in Wisconsin. We don't get to eat much. Should we look down our nose at the frozen and the canned veggies and fruits?
No, absolutely not. And by the way, I'm here in New England, and so I
same boat
on the fresh local front. You know, it's wonderful to have access to fresh local ingredients, and you know what? That's a gift. That's a gift. Those of us who are fortunate enough to live in a place where there's a long growing season, those of us who are fortunate enough to be able to access and afford that gorgeous produce at the local farm markets like I am, that's fabulous. So support some businesses and go ahead and buy organic too if you can afford it because it's generally a smaller impact on the environment. But as a pure nutritionist, which of course I have that training as well, the fact is that no one is eating enough vegetables and fruits for their health. So whether you access fresh vegetables, whether you get some lovely frozen vegetables that are so handy to keep in the freezer and use, even canned, as long as there's no sugar or salt added, can be an okay source. So the fact is, I want you to eat more vegetables and fruits of all kinds.
So can you make the case that if we eat more plants, make plants the star of our plate, that we're still going to be eating well and eat stuff that's fun and not, you know, lose out what we might be getting if we had steak and potatoes or something?
Well, you know what? It's a good question. I think that the taste buds are actually highly elastic and highly adaptable, just like our brain is. So we might, for example, grow up, maybe not taking your example of meat and potatoes for the first step that we can get there, but let's say white pasta, right? So people are used to eating your regular white pasta that you get. But the fact is, once people make the switch gradually, giving your taste buds time to an exposure to experience whole grain pasta, you'll not only like it, but you'll come to prefer it, just like many people come to like to eat skim milk instead of whole milk. So your taste buds really can adapt. And you also, if people want to eat meat, feel free. You know, it certainly has a larger impact to the environment, which maybe we'll discuss in a moment. But the fact is that just use less of it. Use less of it. So keeping plants at the star is going to be best for your health, really.
You also share the tip, don't always fear the fat. I think we all kind of have an attitude that fat in food is inherently bad. But one point you make that I love is that a little fat with the veggies, even the salad, can actually benefit our health.
Absolutely. And I would just want to go ahead and clarify, not to be overly semantic here, but not even don't always fear the fat, but don't ever fear the fat.
Okay.
Don't fear the fat, because there fats are different. There's different kinds of fats. We know that we want to avoid trans fats, and that's probably where we can use always, right? But our saturated fat, polyunsaturated fat, monounsaturated fats, different types of fats, and they have different effects on the body. And those unsaturated fats, and for your listeners, those are the ones that are basically oils. Those are the ones that are liquid at room temperature. Those are the ones that we often use in salad dressings. And they're actually quite good for you, not only because they provide nutrients, but because they are fats, they help your body to absorb all of those wonderful fat-soluble nutrients in your salad. Fat-soluble nutrients are like vitamins A, D, and E, and K, or your carotenoids. So you need both of them, and you're going to get your best health benefits. You don't want to go crazy, because it does have calories. You need to always keep your calories in mind, of course, but that salad dressing is delicious. I would never eat my salads without a salad dressing. No reason to do it.
Well, let's talk about protein for a moment, because that has been a big buzzword in dieting circles lately. Eat more protein if you want to lose weight. Eat more protein for this and that. What do we eat for protein if we want to eat well for the planet and well for our own bodies?
Well, you know, I think that really there are protein sources beyond meat as sort of the big picture. So you're asking kind of a big question that, of course, all of these, and you guys should feel free to say enough, because I know you're raising money here for your pledge drive, and we hope people call in to get the book and also to support your wonderful radio station. You can tell I'm a big fan of public radio.
That's great.
But anyway, you know, I think that the people are dependent upon meat for the protein, and frankly, to answer part of your question, most people are eating too much protein. The body can only use so much protein, so calls to eat more protein usually are not that necessary for good health. But eggs are a great source of proteins, and there are even whole grains that provide some protein. And, of course, beans and legumes are amazing sources of proteins. So those are places where you can maybe swap out, instead of using your ground beef on a salad, let's say a Mexican salad, one of your high-calorie and delicious salads, maybe use some black beans and red beans too. You want to keep the meat, fine, but maybe use half beans. It's that type of thing that we're talking about. So if you can use less meat, it's just a smaller impact on the environment. It takes about 13 pounds of feed to create 1 pound of beef, 6 pounds to create a pound of pork, and 3 pounds to create a pound of poultry. So that's a huge, huge impact and use of resources to create meat protein compared to, let's say, vegetable proteins,
We're talking right now to scientist P.K. Newby about her new book, Foods for Health. Choose and use the very best foods for your family and our planet. She's sharing her ideas for eating sustainably right now.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Share your questions. What do you want to know about eating more sustainably? How do you try to incorporate foods that are good for you and for the planet into your diet? Call 800-642-1234.
Coming up, we'll continue the conversation and take your calls.
But first, we've got Cheryl Gasser in here now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. You, the listeners, provide the single largest source of funding here at WPR, and this drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. Give now and ask for your own copy of Food for Health, Foods for Health, when you pledge $150, that's $12.50 a month or more, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, Rob, you know, last hour we heard from 46 listeners. Thank you so much for all of those pledges. And now a new hour, a new goal. We want to get to 20 pledges by 4 o'clock this afternoon.
You'll want to make that pledge because your gift of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for 2 tickets on a WPR trip. Help us meet this goal and get entered in that drawing by making a contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listening to the Ideas Network, listening to Central Time, it's a lot like going out for coffee with a very smart friend. It's enjoyable and informative. It piques your curiosity.
And somebody's got to pay for it. You make this daily cup of coffee on the Ideas Network possible with your financial support. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to Wisconsin Public Radio to support programs like Central Time. And now, as an added incentive, we have something special for you. It's the National Geographic's Food for Health. It's full of mouthwatering photos, delicious recipes, seasonal menus for fall as we enter autumn. And it's yours when you give $150 or more. That's $12.50 a month. So ask for it now. Make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Phone calls, emails, that deadline. Ah, and I have that meeting in half an hour. Ugh. I'll listen to WPR for a few minutes. And that'll be a nice break.
17 of those are new members. We love it.
We're looking for your pledge of support.
Pledge drive? You've got to be kidding me. They have lots of business donors. I don't know why they come on the air to bother us for our measly dollars. What's the point?
The point, Aaron, is what you call measly donations add up to the single biggest piece of our budget.
No way.
No way what? That the radio's talking to you, or that your donation is a crucial part of our funding?
Both, I guess. But since you've got my attention, tell me more about the support from businesses. I hear them all the time. Doesn't that cover your costs?
We do have hundreds of business sponsors, and we're grateful to them. But back to listener support. Like I said, the single biggest piece of our budget comes from donors like you.
So you're saying I should give?
Do you value WPR programs?
Absolutely. I mean, I listen every day.
Well, then, Aaron, it's time to give.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
That's right, mysterious voice. You can pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob and Veronica here with Cheryl Gasser asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. Maybe your gift will be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And everyone who pledges this drive will be entered into a drawing for not one but 2 tickets on an upcoming WPR trip. You get to choose. Maybe it's the Rhine River or Alaska or France. All 3 amazing trips. And the choice is yours. If you're the lucky winner, make a pledge now and be entered into that drawing. A pledge of any amount gets you entered at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter with that postcard or by making a pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 18 pledges by 4 o'clock this afternoon. Help us out now with your pledge at WPR.org.
And remember, when you pledge $12.50 a month or more, ask for your own copy of the National Geographic book, Foods for Health. That's what we're talking about. And honestly, we're getting some great advice from PK, but there's just so much more in this book. It goes vegetable by vegetable, fruit by fruit, grain by grain, telling you what the health benefits are, the planet impacts are, and advice on what you can do with them. This is a rich book. You'll just leave it sitting out in your kitchen or your coffee table and turn to it again and again. Pledge now, $12.50 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. We're picking up our conversation now with scientist PK Newby about her new book. It's called Foods for Health. Choose and use the very best foods for your family and our planet.
And
remember, I just want to say you could pledge at WPR.org and pick up a copy of the book with a pledge of $150 or more.
And we're taking your calls, too. What do you make? How do you make sure you're eating sustainably? What questions do you have about eating foods that are good for you and good for the planet? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org. And PK, we were talking about eating more plants, giving plants a starring role. What is an example of a plant that you think we should consider that we might not be eating regularly, and tell us why it might be good for us?
Well, you know, I think that I'm not sure what it's like in all kinds of places, but I think of one good example is sort of when people used to think about salads, and I think still today they sort of think about that light green iceberg lettuce, and maybe, let's say, increasingly the romaine lettuce, which is a little bit deeper in color and still has that crunch. And the fact is there is a whole wide world of greens out there that are gorgeous, tasty, crisp. They range from sweet to bitter, everything in between, and they make fabulous salads. You can also braise them. You can use a lot of them in soups. You can use them in a saute as part of your meal. And those greens are really, really high in vitamins like vitamin K, vitamin A, and C, a whole host of minerals. And let's say some of our cruciferous vegetables, like kale would be a green that I'm talking about right now, for example, really has a lot of powerful phytonutrients, which are just a fancy word for plant chemicals, like something called flavonoids and glucosinolates. And those are actually act as anti-inflammatory and antioxidants in the body. So all of that helps reduce our risk of many chronic diseases.
And it seems like a lot of the things you mentioned, the different kinds of greens, used to be alien species, and now it's hard to find a grocery store without some kind of salad mix that includes those things, or at least a couple of the options you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been incredible. I mean, it's even for me, I cannot even tell you that when I go to my farmer's market, and I know a lot about food because I worked in restaurants for many years, and of course, I'm a nutrition scientist and a foodie, and yet I've got to tell you, I go to my local market, and it's amazing the things that I find. But you don't have to go to your market, just as you said. Now they're even, or your farmer's market, you can even go to your supermarket now, and they do appear in those salad on the bags, and it's good news. There may be some problems with our food supply, but you know what? That's not one of them. We have a huge variety from which to choose. And the more variety you have in your diet, including among these greens, and especially among those really deep colors, whether it's dark green leafy vegetables or whether it's the dark orange and dark red vegetables elsewhere, the fact is those reflect those phytonutrients again. Those reflect those really, really healthful components that's going to really help reduce our disease risk and help us live longer.
And we're going to take a caller now. We've got Vicki joining us from Heartland. Hi, Vicki.
Hi.
What is your question?
Thank you for taking my call. My question is relative to grass-fed beef. I understand that it's both better for the body and better for the planet, and I'll take my question off the air. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. MPK, grass-fed beef, what do you think about that in terms of health?
You know, that's funny because we were just talking about that in my class the other day. I teach a class at Harvard with my fellow environmental scientist called From Farm to Fork, Why What You Eat Matters. And this very question came up. It's a popular one, and it's a long one, actually. So I'm going to say the short answer on this is that grass-fed beef, yes, because those cattle are eating grass, you get a little bit better mix of nutrients. In particular, you get something called an omega-3 fatty acid, which is heart and brain healthy, and you get more than in your corn-fed cattle, and most, you know, cattle is corn-fed. But I think a couple of things you want to remember is, firstly, beef cattle create methane, you know, through the digestion. And so methane is one of the most potent climate warming gases out there, more so than carbon dioxide, about 21 times more so. And cattle and raising cattle is the big, 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 big way in which it's emitted into the environment. And that happens whether a cattle is raised on grass or raised on corn. And there's also arguments, and I'll keep it here because I said it's a complex issue. It's a fabulous question, and thank you for calling and asking. But the other thing I was just going to mention is that just because a cattle is raised on grass, it's still creating that methane, and actually, arguably, it's creating more methane because it takes longer, it lives longer, essentially. So that's kind of the upshot for that. So I would say, yes, it's a better source of nutrition, but yes, it also still produces methane. So I'm going to go back to my earlier point that say whatever beef you choose, is still, if you choose less of it, it's still a better choice for the environment.
Well, PK, you shared with us a 100% beef-free recipe. It is a butternut squash salad, and we've got that up at the Central Time Facebook page. Can you tell us a little about it, PK?
Oh, absolutely. You know, everyone loves, at least everyone in my world, loves butternut squash. It's such a delightful squash, and when you roast it, the sweetness really, really, really comes out. So to make this salad, you simply roast up a bunch of butternut squash, and you can roast up some onions or caramelize some onions, and you toss the whole thing with a gorgeous maple Dijon vinaigrette. Of course, maple screams out autumn as well. You can top the whole thing with some sweet dried cranberries or even some roasted cranberries, if you like, and it makes a beautiful, beautiful meat-free side salad, or if it's large enough, it makes the dinner salad. I eat a lot of salad for dinner, and I think that salad doesn't need to be boring, and once you have a tasty vinaigrette and have a lot of high bulky items, and squash certainly is one of them, you're getting a lot of nutrients and a lot of, it fills you up too. But guess what? You can make that salad your own. You can add a little protein if you want. I love adding some canned beans or some toasted nuts, some toasted pumpkin seeds. You can even add some protein or whole grain. So the key to all of these things, whenever I'm teaching people about cooking and incorporating these kind of philosophies into their life, cooking and eating the PK way, as I like to call it, that means cooking not only for your body, health, but also for the planet, make it your own. Do it the way you like it, but start out with the plants and make it your own such that a way that it's going to be part of your regular diet.
It's a great place to leave it. PK, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and I wish you all the luck in raising the money you need.
Thank you. PK Newby. She's co-author of Foods for Health, Choose and Use the Very Best Foods for Your Family and Our Planet. You can find that recipe for that roasted butternut squash salad on the Central Time Facebook page. I'm going to check that out. Very timely, and it sounds very tasty. And if you pledge now at WPR.org, or 888-202-2552. Pledge any amount, and that's great. But if you pledge $150 or more, ask for your very own copy of Foods for Health. It's just got a ton of advice. It's going to expand your cooking palate.
Something I found particularly useful in the book is that you can look up an ingredient, say blueberries, mm-hmm. and read exactly what the health benefits are. There are the phytochemicals in there, the antioxidants, things you didn't know. And you might say, hey, this is just what I need for my health picture, and I'm going to incorporate this food into my diet.
And it talks about the sustainability of that food, too, the ecological impact of it. So make that pledge right now. Any amount helps at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, but consider pledging $12.50 a month or more. That's $150. You're going to help great public radio in Wisconsin, and ask for your own copy of that wonderful book, Foods for Health.
That's 888-202-2552. Make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. Lots of great stuff coming up, including our introduction to the Chief Curiosity Correspondent at Chicago's Field Museum. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up with the latest job numbers just out, we look at Wisconsin's manufacturing industry and its role in overall job creation.
But first, I'm Veronica Rickert with Cheryl Gasser, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. This drive is a time for you to take action. Become a WPR contributor and make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Veronica, we are looking for 9 more pledges by 4 o'clock, 25 minutes or so to go. And as an added incentive, a pledge of any amount enters you into a drawing for 2 tickets on an upcoming WPR trip. Donate for your chance to travel along the Rhine River in Europe or see Alaska or to tour France.
Your pledge right now keeps this program going strong, and it enters you in that drawing for a trip of your choice. Make that contribution at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552 and help us get this membership drive off to a great start.
Pledge in support of Central Time, the latest addition to the Ideas Network family. Rob and Veronica do a great job every single day bringing you a mix of news and culture. You learn something new every single day. Take a minute to think how much they are part of your weekends. Everything you learn on this show, what is that worth? Is it worth $5 a month? Maybe $10 a month? Decide and make a pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this hour, you can get National Geographic's Foods for Health cookbook. It's actually got lots of information about foods and sustainability for the planet. And it can be yours for a contribution of $150. It's $12.50 a month. Your donation supports the programs you count on. And you can also get this nice thank you gift. Pledge now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
A large slice of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget pie, the biggest slice, in fact, is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, the state and federal government and businesses, are all important, your contribution makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is thanks to listener support. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. During this membership drive, we're offering something very special. It's your chance to win a trip and to choose your own adventure. The lucky winner will choose between a holiday cruise up the Rhine River in Europe, an Alaskan adventure, or a getaway to France. No matter which trip you pick, you'll enjoy great lodging, great food, spectacular sights, and the company of WPR staff and your fellow listeners. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find the details and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing. Or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good luck.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this fall membership drive. I'm Veronica Rickert with Cheryl Gasser, and we're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift of $10, maybe $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, it's the right amount.
Now, maybe you can make a 9XM leadership contribution of $100 a month or more. Listeners who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio are the most dependable source of income for this station, and 9XM members are an important part of that picture.
Help us stay strong and continue to grow with a leadership gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've already made a donation this year, or you're a sustaining member. Well, thank you so much for your support of WPR. And hey, we will gladly accept your extra gift. You can give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll be helping to make this drive successful and supporting programs like Central Time that you enjoy every single day.
And we are looking for 8 more pledges in about the next 20 minutes. You can help out now. Make your pledge on this first day of the fall membership drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount today, you'll be entered into a drawing to win 2 tickets on an upcoming WPR trip, one to Alaska, one to France, and one on the Rhine River in Europe. And sustainers, don't worry. If you're a sustainer to Wisconsin Public Radio, we've got you covered. We automatically enter you into all drawings.
And this hour, you can ask for National Geographic's Foods for Health book with your pledge of $150 or more. That's $12.50 a month. Lots of fantastic information about food and sustainability for the planet. Rob and I had tuna melts for lunch, and we were just looking up tuna and getting a better picture about how it affected the planet, what we should look for, and the different kinds. And just one example of the wealth of information in there. A fun read, beautiful pictures. And that's yours for a pledge of $150 or more, $12.50 a month. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make the decision to become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's easy for you. It's easy for us. You decide on the amount to be taken out of your bank account or credit card on a monthly basis. You set it up. It's ongoing. You don't have to think about it. But every time you tune in and turn on the radio, we know that You're doing your part. You keep Central Time going strong. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio every day, tune into Central Time, and there's always something interesting on. You always learn something new, something to talk about, digest, think over. That's what WPR does best. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just looking for six more pledges to meet our hourly goal. This is the first day of our fall pledge drive. Help us meet these hourly goals here on Central Time. Help keep Wisconsin Public Radio strong with your pledge of any amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, for this hour, your pledge of $150 will get you a thank you gift. The National Geographic's Food for Health book breaks down to $12.50 a month. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. 10 years ago, America's economy was dominated by manufacturing, as it had been for most of the century before. But in less than a decade, that manufacturing base has been wiped out by the retail, hospitality, and combined health care and social service sectors.
Today, Wisconsin is just one of a handful of states whose economies are still largely driven by manufacturing. In fact, manufacturing is the single largest employer here in Wisconsin.
So is this a healthy trend in a nation that's veering toward consuming things rather than making them? How sustainable is manufacturing as an industry, and how does it affect other industries in the state?
With us now is Abdur Chaudhry. He's professor of economics at Marquette University, and he's chief economist at Capital Market Consultants in Milwaukee. Abdur, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on your program.
Well, one of the reasons we're talking about this today, job numbers, federal job numbers out today, showing a growth in jobs, but some decline in labor market participation. Not everybody's staying in the job market. Before we get to manufacturing in particular, what do you make of these nationwide numbers?
Overall, if you look at the job creation, I think the numbers are very good. 248,000 new jobs were created. If you look at the last 3 months, 224,000 on average jobs were being created each month. So the numbers are very good. Unemployment rate has dropped to 5.9%. That's also a good thing. The participation rate drop, that is of concern. And now we have the lowest participation rate since the 1970s. The other concern that I have about the national labor market is we are not seeing any increase in the wage rate. Wages have stayed relatively flat. So what that tells me is that although new jobs are being created, these are mostly low-paying jobs. We are not creating high-paying, high-skilled jobs.
Well, that takes us to manufacturing. The president was in Indiana today. He was going to visit a steel mill to promote the manufacturing economy. It is National Manufacturing Day. I didn't know we had that, but we do, and a bunch of factories are having open houses. Is that lack of increase in wages partly because we're moving from manufacturing jobs to all those service-type jobs?
That's one of the reasons, yes. If you look at the job creation that are being created, it's being created in the service sector. Nationally, we have moved more towards the service sector. And in the service sector, jobs are usually, it has lower wages than in the manufacturing sector. So yes, that's one of the things that has contributed to the lower wage rate.
And bringing it home to Wisconsin, I've seen the case made that we haven't lost, you know, in the Great Recession, we didn't lose as many manufacturing jobs relative to the rest of the country. That is seeing some slight growth in the recovery. Is that how you're seeing the picture here?
Coming to Wisconsin, although manufacturing is still the dominant industry here, but coming to Wisconsin, I do see some problems with manufacturing. One of the things that I see is if you look at manufacturing jobs in the state, you'll see that majority of the jobs usually in the greater Milwaukee or Madison area. However, if you look at the last 5 years, these two urban centers have not grown. Compared to the national average, the growth rate in the Milwaukee and the Madison area is lower. Now, if, for example, Milwaukee and Madison had grown at the national average rate of urban centers, we could have created another 45,000 to 50,000 additional jobs. So that has not created.
So are there things we could do at a state policy level that would encourage growth in Madison, Milwaukee, and the rest of the state when it comes to manufacturing?
Yes, we can. For example, one of the things we have seen is that manufacturing intensity has dropped in the state. Previously, about 20% of the total labor force in Wisconsin used to work in manufacturing. Now it's about 16%. So how can we help? I think the main opportunity that we have at this point is if we can diversify our manufacturing base, that would be the best thing we can do for manufacturing. The reason is, if you look at the top manufacturing sectors in the state, you'll see paper, plastic. Those are out in the top five. Now, the demand for those products have dropped. It's not increasing. So the response should be that let's diversify the manufacturing base. That will help us to create new jobs, attract new business, and increase the number of higher-paying jobs in the state.
One story that's been told over the last decade and longer is that one worker produces so much more than one worker did in the past because of advances in technology. So even if you do have a new factory, it's not going to employ as many people as that old factory because of the technology. So even if we see a rebound in factories in Wisconsin and manufacturing, does it really bring that many jobs with it?
To some extent, that is true. For example, if you go back to the 70s, 30% of our labor force in Wisconsin were in manufacturing. So we are not going to go back to 30%. But what will happen is if we can diversify in the manufacturing base, we will be able to create high-paying jobs. And if you look at Iowa, that's a classic example. What Iowa has done is they have moved more towards IT-related manufacturing, and that has really helped the state. So diversification, I think, would help to increase wages overall in the state.
What's the carryover effect if we have these kind of new factories that have these higher-paying jobs? How does that spill over into the rest of the economy, beyond the people who work in the factory itself?
Yes. Basically, there will be some spillover effect. For example, if we can create more high-income jobs, that will lead to growth in income in the economy, local economy. They will be spending more money. That will create demand for other types of services, which will in turn generate more jobs. So you will see the virtuous cycle going on. There will be a multiplier effect.
The dream of a lot of communities, and I think state policymakers, is to have something, some equivalent of California's Silicon Valley. I know there is talk of trying to have a biotech alley in the Madison area or a health technology building on Epic's success. Do you see prospects for Wisconsin advancing in that kind of high-tech sector?
I don't see it right at this point, and the reason for that is a lack of necessary infrastructure in the state. And I again go back to my Iowa example. What Iowa has done is they have basically tried to establish the infrastructure that is required for attracting IT-type companies in the state, and that has paid off by bringing in new business in the state, new types of business. So lack of infrastructure, I think, what is preventing Wisconsin from taking that route.
When we talk infrastructure, we've talked on this show in the past about things like internet bandwidth, connectivity, things like that. And we hear a lot, especially from our rural listeners, saying, hey, we're falling behind. We need some kind of help here to be able to stay connected. Is that the kind of infrastructure we're talking about?
Yes, I think that's one of the infrastructure that I'm referring to. Yes.
Uh-huh. What other kinds of infrastructure would be necessary to lay the groundwork for higher tech sectors here?
Another thing that we can do is increase the skill level of workers. For example, the technical colleges can play a role over here. We do see a skill gap in the state. So if we can increase the skill level of the workforce who will be able to participate in these type of, you know, high-tech industries, that would be helpful.
You know, we've got this election going on here in Wisconsin. People may be aware there's the race for governor, the state legislature, and there's a lot of talk about jobs. But are you hearing things from people up for election or people in office in general, enough things about the specific recommendations that you're making here?
No, I haven't heard anything. Obviously, when you talk about the election, I think the issue of creating 250,000 jobs, you know, the promise that Governor Walker had, that comes up over and over again. And obviously, that's not going to happen. And the reason for that is some of the things I mentioned earlier, that, you know, we haven't seen enough growth in the Milwaukee-Madison area where most of the jobs are created. We are depending on a number of manufacturing sectors like paper, plastic, which is seeing a drop or at least a flat demand. So I don't think the candidates are talking specific proposals.
I know you've written about your concerns over the European economy and the effect problems there could have in the U.S. How much is our destiny in our own hands in Wisconsin? How much are we at the mercy of the national and the global economy?
Okay. Fortunately, going to the European case, as you know, a number of Eurozone countries are having economic problem. The unemployment rate is relatively high, and as a result, you know, because of some policy changes, the value of euro is going down. But fortunately, Wisconsin's trade with the Eurozone region is not very large compared to a number of other states in the union. So Wisconsin will not be affected that much because of what is happening in the Eurozone countries.
Abdur, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much for having me on your program. Thank you.
That's Abdur Chaudhry. He's professor of economics at Marquette University. He's also the chief economist at Capital Market Consultants in Milwaukee.
Coming up, we go behind the scenes at the museum with the Field Museum's chief curiosity correspondent.
First, it is our fall membership drive. Rob and Veronica here to remind you that listeners like you are a huge part of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget. Your gift takes just a few minutes of your time, and it keeps Central Time and the Joy Cardine Show and the Kathleen Dunn Show, all your favorite programs, going strong. Invest in your future listening by donating now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Some great news to get us going here. We are 4 pledges over our 20-pledge goal for the hour. That's fantastic news. Thank you so much for that. We're on track for this hour. We can keep on going, keep the beginning of this fall membership drive going strong with your help. And don't forget, when you pledge, you'll be entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip.
Yeah, check it out. You can donate any amount during this fall membership drive. And if you're the lucky winner, you could travel the Rhine River in Europe or see Alaska's beautiful scenery or experience the rich culture and cuisine of France. You help pay for Central Time when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've covered a lot of ground here today on Central Time already. We've heard about foods for sustainability and health and tastiness, good for the planet. We've learned about Wisconsin's economics landscape and the role of manufacturing there. A lot of ground we've covered. We've got more show to come. This is what you get every day on Central Time. Topics that are relevant to your life, interesting, and Food Friday is always a lot of fun.
Your support makes this incredible variety of topics we cover every day on the show possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or with a call to 888-202-2552.
Here's the great part. You get to decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters, and every pledge helps pay for the programs that you love on Wisconsin Public Radio. So why not ask for the National Geographic Foods for Health book as your thank you gift when you choose $150 or more for your pledge? That shakes down to $12 a month. You can make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio does a service. It's not just the regular state, local, and federal news. It encompasses your life. To make an informed decision, you have to have the two views. You can't have two views if someone's shouting at you that this is the way you should think. I like to be able to make up my own mind. For me, it has always been a friend.
Rather than waiting for a pledge, because if there's not a pledge time on the radio, it kind of falls to the back of your mind. But it just got to a point where I said, you know what, rather than sending in a big thing right away, why don't we just do it so much a month? It's just easier, and I don't worry about it. And at the end of the year, I get a statement from my credit card, and I know how much we donated. It was just easier to do it as a sustaining member. I'm Larry.
I'm Ellie.
And we're from Madison, Wisconsin.
And please join us as sustaining members of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on every day at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Central Time, Rob and Veronica here asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio on this first day of our fall membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
You know, giving to Wisconsin Public Radio, it takes just a few minutes of your time, and in return, you're going to get so much back as you listen. Consider maybe a 9XM leadership gift of $200 a month.
That comes down to less than $8 a day. It makes the talk, the news, the music, the entertainment that you count on possible here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Give now any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Because you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio every day, it's safe to say that WPR is a fundamental part of your life. It's the soundtrack to your day.
Your day is better with this soundtrack, with these conversations going on. Support your daily dose of WPR with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you give, you're going to be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip of your choice if you win. Pledge of any amount is your chance to enjoy European towns along the Rhine River or Alaska or an escape to France.
Make your donation now. Get entered at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've been listening to WPR for a while without pledging, maybe you haven't given because you didn't know that we're listener supported. Well, we are listener supported. In fact, the single largest piece of our budget comes from listeners. Or maybe you wanted to listen for a while and see if you liked what you heard.
All right, you had your chance. You kicked the tires. You checked it out. You're still listening. So now make a pledge. Any amount you choose, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A gift to WPR is a gift through Wisconsin Public Radio to the community. You enjoy this radio station, and so do a lot of other people. Make that pledge at WPR or 888-202-2552.
And remember, pledge $150 or more. That's $12.50 a month. And ask for your own copy of National Geographic's Foods for Health, chock full of amazing food advice and information about health and how foods affect the environment. Pledge now, $150 or more, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. If you want to eat well and you want to eat wisely, do what's best for the planet. This is the book for you, Foods for Health, with your pledge of $150 or $12.50 a month. WPR.org is where you make that pledge, or 888-202-2552.
Off to a great start. Thanks if you've already pledged. If not, keep it going. Pledge now for Central Time for WPR for you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.